Chapter 44. Advice to Non-Smokers. Help get your smoking friends or relatives to listen to this book. First, study the contents of this book and try to put yourself in the place of the smoker. Don't force him to listen to this book or try to stop him smoking by telling him he's ruining his health or wasting his money. He already knows this better than you do. Smokers don't smoke because they enjoy it or because they want to. They only tell themselves and other people this in order to retain self-respect. They smoke because they feel dependent on cigarettes, because they think that the cigarette relaxes them and gives them courage and confidence, and that life will never be enjoyable without a cigarette. If you try to force a smoker to stop, he feels like a trapped animal and wants his cigarette even more. This may turn him into a secret smoker, and in his mind, the cigarette will become even more precious. Refer to Chapter 26. Instead, concentrate on the other side of the coin. Get him into the company of ex-smokers. There are currently more than 9 million of them in Britain alone, and many more in the US. Get the ex-smoker to tell the smoker how they, too, thought they were hooked for life, and how much better life is as a non-smoker. Once you have him believing that he can stop, his mind will start opening. Then start explaining the delusion created by withdrawal pangs. Not only are the cigarettes failing to give him a boost, but they're also destroying his confidence and making him irritable and unrelaxed. He should now be ready to listen to this book himself. He'll be expecting to listen to pages and pages about lung cancer, heart disease and the like. Explain that the approach is completely different, and that references to illness are just a small fraction of the material in the book. Help during the withdrawal period. Whether the ex-smoker is suffering or not, assume that he is. Don't try to minimize his suffering by telling him it's easy to stop. He can do that himself. Instead, keep telling him how proud you are, how much better he's looking, how much sweeter he smells, how much easier his breathing is. It's particularly important to keep doing this. When a smoker makes an attempt to stop, the euphoria of the attempt and the attention he gets from friends and colleagues can help him along. However, they tend to forget quickly, so keep that praise going. Because he's not talking about smoking, you may think he's forgotten about it, and it's best not to remind him. Usually the complete opposite is the case with the willpower method, as the ex-smoker tends to be obsessed by nothing else. So don't be frightened to bring the subject up, and keep praising him. He'll tell you if he doesn't want you to remind him of smoking. Go out of your way to relieve him of pressures during the withdrawal period. Try to think of ways of making his life interesting and enjoyable. This can also be a trying period for non-smokers. If one member of a group is irritable, it can cause general misery all around, so anticipate this if the ex-smoker is feeling irritable. He may well take it out on you, but don't retaliate. It is at this time that he needs your praise and sympathy the most. If you're feeling irritable yourself, try not to show it. One of the tricks I used to play when trying to give up with the aid of the willpower method was to get into a tantrum, hoping that my wife or friends would say, "I can't bear to see you suffering like this. For goodness sake, have a cigarette." The smoker then doesn't lose face, as he hasn't given in. He's been instructed. If the ex-smoker uses this ploy, on no account encourage him to smoke. Instead say, "If that is what cigarettes do to you, thank goodness you'll soon be free. How marvellous that you had the courage and sense to give up."